Oh, go ahead.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you later on. Amen. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And we came to rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, is there anybody here that's glad about it? I love the Lord. Amen. We glad. So this is Praise Tabernacle, amen, live service, and we're here in our second location, amen, in our garage front church. Amen. Lifting up the name of Jesus. He who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. On behalf of me and my precious wife and my family and our Praise Tabernacle family, we greet you in the name of Jesus. We would like to thank all of you that are already tuned in through our Facebook Live and all of those that are listening through our Chaos Blog Talk Radio program. Amen. And we're here and we are already enjoying Jesus. Amen. You can find us here every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Every Tuesday night on our Chaos Blog Talk Radio show, you can tune in at the 7 o'clock hour to be led by our wonderful, amen, leadership team. Every Friday night, you can find us right back here on Facebook Live and on our Chaos Blog Talk Radio show at the 7 o'clock hour. Amen. And listen, I don't know about y'all, but I'm just so glad to be in Jesus. Amen. Is there anybody that's just glad to be saved? Amen. You're saved and you know it, and you know that you're saved. Amen. And you don't care who knows it. You don't care what the world says. You're just glad to be saved. Amen. Listen, we're not going to be before you long. My precious wife, amen, and my two youngest boys, Macho, got a game going on right now, so y'all be praying for him. They're down in Norcross. Amen. And he had his first game started at 10:45. Amen. So we, if we win, we'll be heading down that way. So that's what my beloved wife, amen, and my children, Ice Pig, that's where they are this morning. I say, you, Sister Lucy, God bless you. Amen. But we're here. Amen. We're here to worship and to praise and magnify our God. Amen. Look, I want you to tell a neighbor, if you got one, tell them, say, I got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine. It's mine and it's mine. Amen. This is the song Mother Snowden. Amen. I spanked the mother at my daddy's church years ago when me and Shane was moving in children. She used to jump up on Sunday morning and sing this song. Amen. Help me sing it. Oh, I got a new home over in Zion.
Oh, my God.
Go to St. Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 29 and 30. Amen. I told you on Friday night we talked from the subject, I'm going back home. From that subject, we know Elder Blewett, the man knew that it was LL Cool J that wrote the song, I'm going back to Cali. I didn't know who it was that wrote it, but Elder Blewett reminded us, being that he's from South Central LA, he knew who sung that song. I didn't know who. I just heard it passing by. But Elder Blewett no doubt knows not only who wrote it, he probably, I'm quite sure, knows the words of that song. Amen. Keep him in prayer. Keep him in prayer. And I told you on Friday night that would be a part one and a part two. So today is the part two. On Friday night, we dealt strictly with the young son that left his daddy's house. And we dealt with what took place in the life of the young man. And he came to himself while there was a great famine arose in the land. He had spent all his substance, as the Bible says, with riotous or worldly living. And while in the hog pen, some of us have to have a hog pen experience in order for us to come to ourselves. Now, some folks don't need the hog pen experience, but some of us, amen, can be a witness that in order for us to have came to ourselves, we had to hit rock bottom. Because as long as everything was going good, everything was going well, we couldn't see God. We couldn't hear the voice of God. Some of us, truth be told, we didn't want anything to do with God or the church. But because of a place called rock bottom, We had to hit that place where we couldn't go no lower, and the only place we could look was up. So the young man, while in the hog pen, having his hog pen experience, came to himself. And when he came to himself, he remembered how good he had it at home. He remembered, and remember I told y'all on Friday night, once you get grown, some of your fondest memories are supposed to be, meaning your fondest, your most exciting memories are supposed to be how you had it at home. Amen. Not in every case and not in the life of every person can they say that. Now, some of us, some people had it rough at home. Amen. But that was not the case for this young man. He had it fairly good at home. He came to himself and said to himself, how many hired servants have my father that have bread enough and to spare, and I sit here hungry? He said, I will arise and go to my father and repent and turn and admit, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against thee. And he got himself together, the Bible said, and he went home. Before he could get home, I'm just telling you the story to bring us to where we at for today. As he was getting home, no doubt he was walking up the road that led to his father's house. The Bible says his father saw him from a good ways off, and he had compassion on him. And before the boy could get to his daddy's house and repent and do the things that he said he was going to do to make right, his daddy ran to him, fell on his neck, hugged him, kissed him. Okay? So a lot of times we're waiting on folks to apologize when, if you are a believer, and in this text, in this context, you should already, before they even can apologize, walk in the spirit of forgiveness. Being able to walk in the spirit of forgiveness. Why do we want to walk in the spirit of forgiveness? The reason why is because we want God to forgive us. You know the model prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, or as we forgive those who trespass against us. Meaning what you are saying is, God, I'm asking you to continuously forgive me as I first forgive others. Not, God, you forgive me, then I forgive others. No, we're saying, God, I will walk in forgiveness because I know I'm going to need you to forgive me. And turn it down a little bit. The other ones are down. Turn this one down. So we have to walk in the spirit of forgiveness, walking in the spirit of love constantly. So he got back to his dad's house. His daddy hugged on him, loved on him, told his servants to go kill the fatted calf, get him a ring. I know he want to be just a servant, but he's my boy. He walks like me. He talks like me. He looks like me. When I look at him, I look at myself. So there's no way I can treat him as a servant when he's a son. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. Amen. There's no way I can treat daddy because daddy said, that's my seed. I can't treat him like any old body. That's my boy. I can't just do any old thing. God bless you, Evangelist Stevens. I can't just do any old thing and treat him any kind of way because that's my son. That's my son. That's my boy. So let's deal with, today it's going to be a little different, amen, because there's another perspective, and for some of you, I'm going to get your attention. Some of you, I may prick your heart a little bit, and there might be some things that may cross your mind with some people that you may need to get some things right with, and that's okay. That's what the gospel message is about. That's what preaching and teaching is all about, to reveal and to shine the light on dark spaces in our hearts. Dark spaces. It takes the gospel, the light of the gospel, to shine into those hidden dark areas of our lives. Hidden dark areas that we don't want nobody to know about. Hidden dark areas that we have tried for years to forget about, only to be reminded when we see a certain person, or hear a certain person's name, or smell a certain person. It could have been years ago, but when you hear that person's name or hear their voice or smell that they no doubt a cologne, a perfume, or whatever it is, it reminds you, it takes you right back to that moment when that unfortunate incident took place. Right. Can I deal with it this morning? Can we talk just for a few minutes? I'll be through by 12 if the Lord say the same. So let's look. St. Luke 15, let's look at 29 and 30 so I can be on my topic. St. Luke 15, verses 29 and 30. Somebody put it out there. Sister Thelma, put it out there. St. Luke 15, chapter, Evangelist Stevens, Evangelist Glenda, somebody put it out there. St. Luke 15, verse 29 and 30. Would you read it with me on this morning? Elder Taylor, God bless you. Read it with me on this morning. On the count of three, St. Luke, this is part two. Some of you need to go back if you miss. Thank you, Shan. If you miss Friday night, go back later on in the day and look at Friday night's message. Amen. That build, we built the foundation on Friday night. Hey, what's up, Fat? I see you. That's my cousin, Brother Jermaine Brown. I see you, Doc. Amen. God bless you. Glad to have you all in service this morning. We call it Fat, amen. Fat and Lilia, amen. Brother Jermaine Brown, thank you. It's my cousin, my Uncle Melvin's boy, amen. St. Luke 15, give me about 25 minutes. I want you to stay with me for about 25 minutes, amen, and we'll let you go. St. Luke 15, verse 29 and 30. On the count of three, let's read it. Three. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. We're going to take our topic from verse 29. I just wanted to establish the foundational for today. But let's look at, I'm going to read verse 29 again, and then we'll give the topic. And he answering said to his daddy, to his father, to his daddy, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Let me read that again. I want you to understand where I'm going with this. Let's read that again. Pay attention to the personal letters and words that he gives that's identifying directly to him. Watch this. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do, here we go, I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. We see five different words that he, in this one scripture, identifying to him. So today we're going to talk from the topic, if you have a neighbor, look at that neighbor. If not, just tell yourself, if you got a neighbor, say, neighbor, be careful with the spirit of me. The spirit of me. That's today's topic. The spirit of me. The spirit of me. Father, it's in your name that we pray. We ask that you would send your anointing that makes preaching and teaching easy. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Let no flesh get any glory in this service, but all glory and honor goes to you. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And every heart shout amen. Amen. The spirit of me. The spirit of me. I got to be careful with the spirit of me. Have you ever known of a person that was so infatuated with themselves that they missed the beauty of having others around? You ever known somebody like that? You know, I tell y'all all the time, when I give these first few sentences in my sub-intro, most of our mind automatically goes to who this individual is. So have you ever known of a person? Maybe that person might be you, that was so infatuated with themselves that they missed the beauty of having others around. The spirit of me. No matter the situation at hand, this person made it about them. No matter what the problem, no matter what it was, happy, sad, glad, gloomy, this person had a way to manipulate the situation or manipulate the cause to make it about them. No doubt others grew to find it hard to be around this individual simply because they always wanted to be celebrated but could never be the one celebrating others. Lord, I wish, God, thank you, Heather Taylor. Yeah, a narcissistic person is about them. Let me read that again. No doubt others grew to find it hard to be around this individual simply because they always wanted to be celebrated but could never celebrate others. Lord, help me. Lord, I may have to borrow 5 extra minutes this morning. This person, we must be mindful to watch the spirit of me simply because it will turn others from wanting to be in fellowship with us. God bless you, Sister Mingo, Sister Cynthia White, Mother White, amen, the family. Cynthia, God bless you. This person has shown characteristics of it all being about them. If they're not the show, there is no show. Always wanting to be celebrated, but never can find this person celebrating others. They stick to the party. They stick to the, it's my party and I cry if I want to. And they stick to my phone no more. It's either my way or the highway. I see you, Brother Maxie. God bless you. Amen. So we got to be careful when we deal with the spirit of me. I got three here. My saint, sanctuary church this morning. Be careful. Tell yourself, I must watch the spirit of me. I must watch the spirit of me. I just got about 7 verses we want to deal with at the end of this right here. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25, St. Luke 15, and we're going to go 25, amen, through 32. And I'm almost through already. Verse 25, now his elder son, remember in the beginning, it says this man, he had 2 sons and the youngest. Remember this, let me sneak this in, let me deposit this. Jesus had to give this because he was dealing with the Pharisees that was complaining because Jesus, was talking and eating and fellowshipping with sinners. So the Pharisees, meaning the church authority figures at the time, felt that if he's the Son of God, or who he say he is, he's a real prophet, he should not be hanging and talking with sinners. Jesus gives 2 illustrations. He gives 2 little parables. The first one was about a shepherd that has 100 sheep and loses one. The one that he loses, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And when he finds it, he celebrates. Okay? But he leaves all the other 99 to go after this one sheep that was lost. Okay? Then he deals with a lady that has 10 pieces of silver and loses one, and she cleans her whole house to find the one piece of silver. And when she finds it, she invites her friends over to celebrate her finding that one coin. Jesus was giving these illustrations to the Pharisees, trying to help them to understand, amen, those that are well don't need a physician. He came to heal, to seek, and save those which were lost. In other words, we can't keep witnessing to the same folk. Can't keep witnessing, amen, to the same elders, to the same evangelists, to the same deacons. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Can't keep witnessing, amen, to those that already got God. We can't keep witnessing. We should just be encouraging those that already are believers. But we should be witnessing, listen, beloved, we should be witnessing to sinners. We encourage, we edify the believers in the church. We edify each other, but we should be witnessing to the sinners. Witnessing what? The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Stop having, amen, witnessing to the same old folk that you know already love God. Find some folk that don't know God. There's enough of them out there that don't know. But how do we know that there's enough? Because the harvest is plenteous. All right. Oh, I'm getting happy. I ain't got but a few more minutes. But laborers are few. Now is a great time. And so many of the brothers that some of them are tuned in today. Amen. I just been with, hey, man, you ain't got to come to the church. We on Facebook now. Hey, you ain't got to get out your bed. Just tune in. And this is a way, even now, that the gospel is being spread. Remember, the gospel is not limited to the walls. Worship and praise is not limited to the building. Worship, praise, amen, preaching, amen, and there's no limits to it. So, Jesus has to explain. He gives these parables, trying to explain to the Pharisees, I came for the sinner. I brought salvation for the sinner. If you already good, I didn't come for you for that. Okay? And we got to be the same mind. Listen, even now, those who watch me by Facebook, listening through chaos, amen, I know we're not in our building as normal. And I don't know if this is the new norm, but while we're doing this, there's nothing wrong with you still witnessing. inviting somebody to say, hey, I want you to be a part of my church Friday night. I want you to come and be a part of my church Sunday night or Sunday morning. On Tuesday night, this is the number. You can be a part of our Bible study. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all ain't talking, but it's the truth. It's the truth. This is what we're doing in this dispensation. Right now, this is what we're doing. So we just learn to adjust, but the fellowship or the witness doesn't stop. Some folk may never come into your church, amen, but they might be just as faithful, amen, doing it the way we're doing it now. And God, that's why I just believe God is well pleased. You ain't got to believe it. I ain't telling you to believe. I'm saying I believe God is well pleased because the gospel is being spread into all the world. So let's look. Let's look. Verse 25. I think that's, no, 23. Okay, let's look at verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf, okay? This is the father talking to his servant. And kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Okay? Verse 24. For this my son was dead. What kind of dead do you think he's talking about? It's not physical death, but spiritually. Spiritually dead. We know he wasn't physically dead. How in the world is he coming back to his daddy? That he was spiritually dead. Look at the text. And is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Everybody else in the house was celebrating the fact that the man's son had came back home. The servants was excited about it. Brother Zach, hold this, put that up for me. The servant was excited. Daddy was excited. There was a party going on. Party over here, ain't nothing over there. You know, there was the roof, you know, the roof is all on fire. You know, they were celebrating the fact that the father's son was home. Let's look at 25. Let's deal with it. Now his elder son was in the field and asked what these things meant. He heard the music. Celebrate the time. Come on. He heard the music. No doubt he saw them dancing. They might have been doing the stanky leg. They might have been doing the bank head bounce. Amen. They might have been leaning with it and rocking with it. Amen. So the elder boy hears this. He knew it was a celebratory service or some type of and he asked, what meaneth the music? What meaneth the music? Because he heard the music and the dancing. He called verse 26, one of the servants asked, what are these things meant? What's going on? What is that? Daddy, I throw the party and didn't tell me about it. Verse 27, and he said unto him, thy brother is come. Now, it's important that we understand this. The servant acknowledges that the brother, meaning a relationship factor to the only son, your brother is come. And thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. Okay, so the servant is just telling the big brother that his little brother has came home. The servant acknowledges the relationship, meaning brotherhood. Yeah. Not just your friend, not just your confidant, not even our enemy, but your brother. Okay? I'm almost through. Look at 28. And he was angry. Who was angry? The oldest brother was angry. What do you mean? Could it possibly be he was angry because they didn't invite him to the party? Could it be that he was angry because he wasn't able to
angry because he missed his brother, and now brother done came back, and nobody, amen, was, nobody told him about the celebration before kicking it off? Could it be that he was angry because he wanted to be there to see the ring and to see the fellowship and the love that daddy had for the youngest son? Is this the, could this be the reason why the young boy, I mean the oldest son, was mad? Let's see. Because all those reasons I can see could be justified. He's upset. I can understand if he's upset because they started the celebration without letting him know. And he wanted to be there to hug and love on his baby, on his little brother. I can understand that. So let's see if that's the point. Let's see. Verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. He wouldn't go to the celebration. Therefore came his father out and entreated him or questioned him. And the father, that daddy was saying, son, why you ain't in here? You know, we need to start the party. We had to get started without you. What's taking you so long to get in here to feel part of the fellowship? So his daddy entreated him. Let's look and see verse 29. Let's see what the big brother said. And he answering said to his daddy, watch this, children of God. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. The spirit of me. Let's look at it again. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. He used five different things to distinguish himself. So no, we see here, it had nothing to do that he was late to the celebration. It had nothing to do that he missed his baby brother and was upset that they started the party without him. It had nothing to do, amen, that his baby brother had been lost and away. But it had everything to do with the spirit of me, myself, and I. Folks are coming to church, they done left the church, and they'll come back, amen. And if some of us, if you're not careful, amen, things are getting in your heart, why, pastor, let them do this? No, no, they done left the church so many times. Why they let him? He shouldn't preach no more, amen. He shouldn't be no deacon. She shouldn't be no usher. She shouldn't be able to be the priest. They should be able to do nothing. They've been gone for so long, but pastor still allowed them to get up. We see how it happens naturally in the families, but it also happens spiritually in the church. Because some of us, we get so busy and stuck on ourselves. Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When do you take the time to consider why can't it just be great that this person, whomever it is, came back home? I remember my older brother Poochie. Poochie, at a point in his life, he had to leave home. He's my older brother. He's my oldest, but he's the same mom and dad as Poochie. But the point, he left the house. And being that I was so used to being with him and seeing him, trying to walk like him, trying to talk like him, trying to shoot ball like him, trying to play football like him, Because to me, he was the baddest thing. My brother was just, especially on the football, he could play basketball, especially on the football field. To me, he was just the baddest thing. And there was a point when he got a little older, he had to leave the home. But some of my greatest moments was when I was able to reconnect and spend time with him. When he would come and pick me up and take me places, take me shopping and different things like that that I didn't get a chance to experience with my biological father. In certain cases, my big brother, Poochie, he would do these things for me. And I'm even reminded, I ain't even thought about this until for the most part, right now while I'm preaching it. But it could have been, and we got to be careful, there is a thing called sibling rivalry. You don't believe it? Parents, this is for you. Be careful. This is to us parents. I got five of them. And I have to be careful with what's known as sibling rivalry. If you don't believe that, look at and read the story of Cain and Abel, the first set of siblings. Then you can look at Joseph and his brothers because of what daddy made him a coat of many colors. His brothers envied him. Siblings rivalry is a real thing. Parents, we have to be careful. You got to be careful always celebrating one and never celebrating the others. The spirit of me. Okay, we got Cain and Abel, we got Joseph and his brothers. We also got Jacob and Esau. And there are many others. Some of you now in your family, you thinking about what I'm preaching right now, and you're reminded on how you felt, whether it was mama or daddy favored you or favored another sibling, and it had you feeling some kind of way, even to this day. I'm talking right to you. You know, just wave your hand and say yes, Lord. Now, some kind of way, be it right or wrong, you felt maybe that they favored another child, and you didn't get the equal attention or the equal amount of time that you feel you deserve. And I'm not saying you're wrong. You could just may as well be. You could be 100% right. Because our first line of who we are, our identity, our identification, whom we are as a person, is supposed to come from our father and our mother. And if one or the other is missing, we can possibly go through life without knowing or constantly searching for what it feels like. A lot of you young ladies out there, the reason why you have been, I ain't condemning you, I'm just saying, the reason why you may have possibly been with so many men is because you missed out on that love from your daddy. Oh, I'm preaching good. I know. It's true. The reason why you may treat women the way you do is because you did not have your father to show you how you're supposed to treat a woman. Or your mother, the reason why you treat women or look at women the way you do, possibly because of what you saw your mother do or how your mother treated you or how your mother allowed other men to treat her. Yeah. Oh, wow. Talk to me, y'all. And some of us now are still entrapped because it's the spirit of me that has me bondaged by my past, but by my past mess up, my past hiccups, my past faults, my past failures, and you're still wrestling with saying, we cannot get past this. All right. I got to close. I could be here all day. But sibling rivalry is for real. I can preach about Esau and Jacob. I can tell you that story. I can preach about Cain and Abel. I can tell you that story. I can preach several messages about Joseph and his brothers. And in most cases, a lot of this, yes, sometimes stems from. Now, on the opposite end, parents, you got to be careful. I really feel that even in this text, as we finish up in about 5 minutes, as we look through this, that maybe the oldest boy, not only can we see a little jealousy, but he may have even been spoiled. When we grew up, my mom, amen, certain ones and certain folk kids, they would say, my mom and my auntie, amen, certain ones, they was, and that joke was just spoiled. God bless God, and God rest my grandmother, Mother Bobby Lee Brown, and my aunt, when it came down to Sunday dinner, just back when we lived with my grandma. Mother Bobby Lee Brown, she would cook Sunday dinner. And I never would eat Sunday dinner. She made Sunday breakfast too. I would eat the Sunday breakfast for dinner. And everybody else that was at my grandma's house, Johnny May, you ought to make that boy eat these greens and potatoes and these beans and all that. And my mom would say, leave my boy alone. And she would warm up them biscuits. And I put some syrup on it, eat them eggs that's been sitting on the stove, amen, since Sunday morning. And we done went to church, Little Park Church. We done had Sunday school. I had, amen, certain everything, come back home. That's what I would eat, the leftovers from breakfast. And my mom would say, leave my baby alone. And that's what I would eat, or make me a bowl of cereal. And now it's funny, my son, Macho especially, do the same thing. The rest of us, we could be out eating whatever. He want pancakes. He want eggs. He want cereal. All right. The spirit of me. Spirit of me. Let's look. Let me get through. So we see he uses five. He uses I, my, me. Verse 29. Look at verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come. Look. Notice he did not acknowledge the son as his brother. Remember I told you to take note when the servant said up in verse 27, verse 27, the servant acknowledges the young man as his brother, as the brother of the oldest. But now we see the oldest boy, and not he won't acknowledge, he's not saying his brother. He says, as soon, verse 30, as this thy son was come. Then he reminds his daddy of all the crazy stuff that the son had did. Watch this. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Makes me wonder how in the world, maybe the word got back. We know they weren't texting back then, but maybe that was a new, I don't know. But how did he know that his brother had spent the money on the harlots? Meaning whores. He done spent money on prostitutes. Maybe word got back to the daddy, you know, I'm just thinking. Maybe word got back to the house that, you know, the boy wasn't doing that good. He done bought this one, done bought that one. He's spending money on. We do know it was righteous living, which partly is that, the worldly living. So he says, but verse 30, I'm almost through. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. But as soon as this thy son. Listen, beloved. Listen, just because you come to church, must understand everybody in the church not saved. And some folks in the church, instead of celebrating your sobriety, they will continue to remind you of your failures. Instead of celebrating your come up, they will continue to put before you your hang-ups. See, I need you to celebrate my come up and don't be in a position of reminding me of my hang-ups. Am I talking good? Surround yourself with folks that will help push you to greatness and not remind you of your failures. My time is far spent. So here he runs to the pastor. Pastor, you know they done did this, that, and the other. Pastor, you know they don't. They done did this to the church, done that in the church. You still gonna celebrate? You still gonna give them a chance to preach? You still gonna allow them to hold an office in the church? Well, sometimes the truth of the matter is, you've been here the whole time and you ain't did nothing but cause hell. Is it possible that you've been in now, amen, and instead of you being a help, you've been a hindrance? Instead of you helping push the church and build the kingdom, you've been a hindrance because you've been sitting in here the whole time? Think about it. You would have thought, and we know traditionally whatever the father had was given to the oldest son, but in this text, we never see where the oldest son even ventured out to do anything outside of his daddy's house. But he had a nerve. You ever told somebody that? The nerve. You got the nerve, the option, the audacity. Pardon my, Lord, I better not say that. I ain't going to say that. Amen. I'm going to say, you got the balls to try to tell me. Lord, help us this morning. All right, let me close. I done lost half of you. If that lost you, then you need to start cussing. Let me get through here. Well, you done had a party for him. And he said unto him, I'm through right here. Son, thou art ever with me. That I just told y'all, the boy ain't been nowhere. The oldest boy ain't been nowhere. Because the daddy says it right here, you are ever with me. You ain't, at least your youngest son had, and we never read, watch this, we never read in the text where the young boy left home the wrong way. He just wanted to leave. We can't put that in the text where he left because he was upset with his daddy. No, that ain't what the text, that ain't what we read. He just left. And his daddy allowed him to go and gave him his stuff. Y'all don't like this type of teaching. Y'all don't like this. I'm through. And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. You tripping? You tripping over a little celebration? You tripping over that I made I had a barbecue? You tripping over the barbecue? You tripping over the cookout, player? You tripping because, you can go in the barn and pick whatever you want. You can celebrate, have a party, have a barbecue whenever you want to, and you tripping? You standing off over a little piece of ribs, over some goat meat? Over some euros? You tripping? As many times as I celebrated you and called your name in the church and called your name and gave you this, all that I got is yours, prayer. Yeah. And you tripping over us having a cookout, over us having a barbecue for your baby brother. The spirit. I preached a message months ago. Praise God, now can you remember when I preached and came from the subject, I can't even trust myself. Do you remember? Do you remember? I'm through. Let me read 31 into 32. I'm through. Come back Friday night, I may visit Hoopville, but I'm through this. I'm just teaching this. Look. And he said unto him, this is verse 31 into 32, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Yep. Look at 32, and I'm through. It was meet. It was proper. It was necessary. Okay? It was meet. It was proper. It was necessary that we should make Mary, that we should celebrate, that we should be glad, that we should be happy. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this, watch what the Father does. Watch what the Father does. Watch this. We know the servant acknowledged brother, fellowship, relationship. The oldest brother acknowledges, that's your son. Look at what daddy does. See, that's why it's important to have fathers in your life. Fathers, to any man out there, even if it don't work with you and mama, you still need to do right by your children. And we don't see anywhere here in the text where the mama was in, and didn't even mention the mama. Amen. So I'm just, right now, I just want to take a plea. I know I've said parents, but right now I want to make a plea to you daddies, to you fathers. If you and mama still together in the home, great. Even then, do right by your children. Do right by your wife. God forbid, but if things have happened where you and mama are not together, amen, it's still your responsibility, and God is holding you accountable for doing right by your children. And don't you understand, Lord, I got to get through here. Don't you understand, beloved, that more than money, amen, more than you sending stuff to your children, ultimately what they need is your time and your attendance. Well, I pay my child support. I do this. No, we need your time. Right. When I was growing up, I didn't care about no money or my daddy spending money or any of that. I just wanted to be able to spend time. And it didn't feel good sitting on the porch, amen, waiting on him to come, and he never showed up. Would tell my mama he's on the way, and me and she would be excited, waiting on him to come. Amen. He never showed up. So my big brother had to take in and fill some voids. My mama remarried. Amen. And Bishop Lowell had to fill in some voids. But there was a void that's still there to this day that God has had to replace because of the absence of my biological father. Lord, I thought I had a real church. But because of what I experienced, I chose to do opposite when it came to my children, to my wife, my children. Right. It's hard to find a video and a picture without me in it with my children. But I can't tell you one video or one picture I got with my biological father. Think about it. I'm through. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this, my brother was dead. For this, that brother. Okay? See, you know what I'm saying? Look at what the father does. The father reminds him, it's your brother. For this, thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. God bless you on this morning. For this, thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. The spirit of me. Beloved, I want to encourage you today. There's three different things we saw. I'm through preaching. I went over my time. The three things we saw. We saw from the point of view of the baby boy. We saw the point of view of the father. And we saw the point of view of the oldest son. I would dare to say some of us, I'll just stretch out a little bit on a limb to say some of us have probably experienced all three phases. The baby boy, father, and the oldest son. Some of you can identify with the baby boy. Some of you are more familiar, can identify with the Father. And then truth of the matter, unfortunately, but it's just the truth. Some of us can identify with the oldest son. The baby boy needed grace. The oldest boy needs to work with forgiveness. And the father just needs to maintain. The baby boy needs grace, needed grace. The oldest boy needs to deal with forgiveness. And the father needs to just maintain. Keep what he got. I think he did a great job. And that's all we're trying to do as parents. I'm pushing and encouraging you. Just do the best you can. Love your children. Children, love your parents. I'm through. God bless you today. May you be encouraged, blessed. Hopefully this pricked your heart for some of us where we found ourselves. But to God be the glory. Thank you so much for tuning in to Praise Tabernacle Sunday morning service. We're going to say a word of prayer, and we're going to raise our Sunday morning offering. Then we'll be given the benediction. We'll be going home. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again. We appreciate you. There may be one under the sound of my voice that found themselves in the message today, and they may have found themselves dealing with the oldest boy. And they've had bitterness. They've had strife, things that have been rooted, unforgiveness rooted in their hearts against a loved one, against a friend, against a family, against someone that used to be, they ate boom, coon, now they can't stand them. And God, right now I pray that you will take that heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. And we repent. If you're here today and you want to get this thing right, repeat after me, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. I believe you died on Calvary's cross. I believe you rose on the third day. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. God, I open up the doors of my heart. And I welcome you in to massage my heart, make my heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Thereby I can see clearly. I can love right. I can think right. I can treat my neighbors right. Do it for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, beloved, thank you so much for tuning in. Right now, we're going to raise our Sunday morning offering. We're going to raise our Sunday morning offering. Praise Tabernacle, you know what we do. All our visitors and friends, we want you to participate. God bless you, Brother Marcus, Brother Maxie. I love you, man. God bless you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Listen, there are two ways that you can give on today. This is going directly to our ministry, Praise Tabernacle Church. Okay, we want you to play a part. You can cash out. The cash out information is $PTC. That stands for Praise Tabernacle Church. And the number is 877, $PTC877. You can go ahead on and start cashing out in the church now. Whatever love gift you may have on today, if you would like to send that, whether $5, $2, $1, $20, $30, $100, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, send your offering. You can cash out, or you can call our financial offices right now. If this message has been a blessing to you, this is not coming to me. This is going to the church. We still, even though we're not in our local building, we still have expenses that we're still paying. And we ask now, for those of you that would need to give by cash out, I mean, not cash out, PayPal or Zelle or God bless you, Mother Parsons. I see you out there. Debit or credit card, you can do so. The number to call if you would like to give by PayPal, debit card, credit card, or Zelle, the number is 678-760-6056. There it is. It should be on your screen. Thank you, Shan. should be out there. Once again, thank you so much to Cash App for the offering on today. Pastor, is there a certain amount you want us to give? Give your best to the glory of God. Whatever God lays on your heart. Whatever God lays on your heart. Okay? Trust God. We can't pay for the word. That's why I always raise the altar after I preach. Okay? Because we can't. The word comes. So I don't even preach thinking about money. Hey, Mama, I love you, Mother Parsons. Tell Dad Parsons I said hello. We love y'all. Karen, Sharon, and Kristen, tell them we said hello. And the grandchildren, we love y'all. So once again, if you'd like to cash out the church, this is going to the church today. That's $PTC. That stands for Praise Tabernacle Church. And the number is 877. $PTC 877. Or you can call if you would like to use your debit or credit card or PayPal. You can call our financial offices today at 678-760-6056. God bless you. Thank you all of those that are listening through our Chaos Blog Talk Radio. I see Lady Keisha Oliver on here. Thank God for her and Elder Derek Oliver. We thank God. We are so grateful to God for them. Amen. For what they have meant to our ministry in such a short time. Listen, got a quick praise report. On last Sunday, I think it was, we was praying and we got word that Evangelist Stephen's son, Timothy, had been in the hospital and different things had been going on with him. We prayed for him. I called her after service. I think it was last Sunday. Me and her talked for a few minutes and told her we were going to continue to pray for him. I think he was in the hospital. Amen. I just got word that he has been released from the hospital and is doing well. And so we thank God for that. Talked to Sister Martin a few days ago. She had been released from the hospital. Still had some things going on, but we thank God that she's yet alive, and we pray that God will complete the work, that he will complete the work in her. Amen. Thank God for my nephew. Amen. My nephew, we thank God for him. God is still touching his body, and we're grateful to God. Amen. I thank you to the Watkins family, different ones that are experiencing death. Also, the Harris family. Bishop Sabarity Harris died a few days ago. We want to continue to keep him lifted up. His wife and family, children, his mother Rachel Harris, his brothers, and just his family lifted up in prayer. Amen. All right. Well, y'all, we through. Meet us again back on Tuesday night. Tuesday night, you can find us on our Chaos Blog Talk. Amen. Radio for our Tuesday night Bible study that's held by Elder Richard Taylor, Elder Victor Bluett, and also Evangelist Dove Stanton. And Elder Derek Oliver is going to be chiming in. He's going to start working with us. And hopefully soon, Lady Keisha Oliver, amen, will be joining our team for our Tuesday night Bible studies. Okay, so continue to be encouraged. We also keep Sister Asha Bluett and the Bluett family in prayer. Amen. There are many other stuff I can't see right now that we know was asking for prayer. Amen. That's right, Elder Stokes. Y'all have a great week also. We love y'all. Love y'all so much. I see my nephew, Brother Tyrell. See him on here. His mama just had that other baby. I think that's baby number 15, I think. I think that's baby number 15. Amen. So we thank God. May God continue to bless the Nash family. Listen, remember, keep us lifted up in prayer. This is the tribe called Zachary. Amen. The tribe called Zachary. Amen. We thank you and we love you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again as we get ready to leave this place, but never your presence. We know that there are many others out there we can't even see now that's requesting prayer. But God, even now, we know that you know. And we ask it now that you would touch, heal, and deliver in the name of Jesus. All of those listening through our Chaos Blog Talk Radio, whatever the situation is, help them build their hope on you. Help them to keep their trust in you, in the name of Jesus. We're thanking you for allowing us to come back home. We're thanking you for allowing us to have a repentant heart. Amen. Some of us have left and gone astray, but you've allowed us to come back home, and we're grateful. We're grateful. And we thank you that we leave this place, but never your presence. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you. Amen.